Hello and welcome. This is Sharon, back to bring you the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. As we generally do, we'll begin our reading on the front page with the Eats of the Week column. Food is my love language. Sourdough at the heart of this Bloomington-based business. Since Heidi Murray could stand on a chair next to her mom at the kitchen counter, she always had a love of baking. The Rantoul native this month will mark 1 year of her Bloomington-based cottage food business, Flowers and Heart, which opened for online orders on February 18, 2024. The business mainly focuses on sourdough loaves and sweet treats. The mom of four said it all started when she brought cinnamon rolls to her children's school for Teacher Appreciation Week. Her kids came home telling her everyone was asking if she sold the rolls, and if not, why not? This prompted Murray to look into selling her baked items out of her home, and she worked with the McLean County Health Department to obtain the proper licensing. I absolutely love feeding people, and I have kind of joked around for a long time that food is my love language, and it's not just me eating it, but it's definitely feeding others, Murray said of her baking motivations. So, just having that reward, getting to know my customers, has been very fun. I definitely feel like I have some new weekly friends. Another motivation for Murray is her son's food allergies. She emphasized her family home is entirely egg-free, so many of her baked goods are made with only a few ingredients, including flour, salt, and water. Some ingredients differ based on what the item is, but even her cookies and muffins don't include egg, so she can cater to other customers who have egg allergies. Murray said the name of her business is inspired by the fact that she offers traditionally made sourdough and makes it with a lot of flour and a little bit of heart, adding she often measures with her heart. Murray doesn't use yeast for her sourdough. The bread is long fermented and takes a minimum of 24 hours to make. Combined with the time it takes to make her starter, Murray said it takes 36 to 48 hours for the entire bread-making process. This includes feeding the starter, making the dough, letting it rise, and setting overnight in the fridge. She uses her sourdough starter for her cookie batches as well. This method, she said, makes the items more digestible for her customers. Murray added that some of her customers have yeast allergies, and it is difficult to find sourdough bread without yeast in mainstream stores. I think customers most enjoy the sweet treats. They are always a hit. They come for the bread and they leave with bread and cookies, which is totally something myself would do. Like, I go to the grocery store and come home with sweet treats, so I understand that mentality, Murray joked. Cinnamon rolls, cookies, scones, focaccia, sandwich loaves, and the regular sourdough loaves are among Murray's most popular weekly items. Custom orders can be requested, but these depend largely on Murray's availability and the ingredients needed. Advance notice is recommended. Items range from $10 to $15, and Murray often switches up the flavors, especially for holidays and events. She said, cheddar jalapeno sourdough is one of her top sellers, which she thinks makes the best bread for grilled cheese. Other flavors like Italian herb and cheese have been offered as well. With Valentine's Day coming up, Murray plans to offer breads and scones inspired by chocolate-covered strawberries. She also has been testing king cake recipes for Mardi Gras next month. For Easter and Christmas last year, Murray said she made over 150 rolls for customers. On average, though, Murray typically receives about 20 to 25 orders a week. Occasionally, Murray attends pop events to sell items from Flower and Heart. She once had a table at Serendipity Mercantile in Bloomington, and last fall, she was part of Illinois Wesleyan University's homecoming celebration, which she said was especially fun since she's an alumna. While she doesn't have any in-person events planned at the moment, she said she would like to do more in the future as her kids' schedules allow. I'm hoping to continue to grow my customer base. I would love to expand a little bit more. I actually joked around with my husband the other day that I really want to be forced into buying a bread fridge for the garage, like a fridge for just bread, because right now I am organizing our own personal household grocery order around the bakery, she said about her future plans. For Murray, a typical week can be hectic as she balances life as a mom, a wife, and a business owner, but she usually opens her menu for orders at noon on Sundays. Customers can sign up for text message alerts to be notified when online ordering becomes active. Murray is also active on social media, both Facebook and Instagram, and lets people know there too when orders are open. Orders remain open for approximately 24 hours or until she's sold out. The following day, Murray makes sure she's prepped and has all the needed ingredients, then starts making the dough at 4 a.m. on Tuesday. Around the same time on Wednesday, she preheats the oven and makes sure everything is baked before scheduled pickups later that evening. When placing an order, customers can sign up for a pickup time slot, and once payment is received, they receive the address where they can pick up their orders from Murray's front porch. Murray puts up a chalkboard with a message on it on her porch, and customers can find their items as orders are labeled and placed on a cart. Murray said she tries to step outside and say hi to her new customers as weather allows. Again, if you'd like to order, this business is called Flowers and Heart, located in Bloomington. Their website is hotplate.com/flowersandheart. You can also contact her by email at heidimurray2012@gmail.com. Today's Flick Fact Question. Of all the stories about how towns in central Illinois got their names, perhaps the best one belongs to Forest, the Livingston County town. What's their tale? And the answer, legend has it a sign along a trail that eventually became U.S. 24 once read, "For Rest," inviting travelers to pause. Over time, the space between the words disappeared, leaving Forest. A more official version claims the town was originally called Forestville before being shortened to Forest. And the mystery of that extra R remains unsolved. From the back pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies. How Time Flies is a daily feature that looks back into the Pantograph archives to revisit what was happening in our community and region. 100 years ago, on February 5th, 1925, as President Abraham Lincoln's birthday anniversary nears, Mary Park Evans of 808 East Douglas Street in Bloomington is sharing her recollection of sitting on Lincoln's knee when she was a child. Her father, Samuel Park, was the proprietor of a Metamora hotel where Lincoln stopped while in the area. The future president pronounced Evans a mighty fine girl, of whom her parents could be proud. 75 years ago, on February 5th, 1950, Bloomington's newest musical group, the Businessmen's Band, which has never and will not practice together, will headline a variety show for the March of Dimes on Wednesday, February 8th, at the Scottish Rite Temple. Chief of Police Clyde Hibbins will be on the trombone. Floyd Speary will handle the saxophone. Lauren Lewis will play the bass viola. And many others about town will put on a jam session at the benefit musical for the Polio Fund. 50 years ago, on February 5th, 1975, an additional 50-bed wing of the new McLean County Nursing Home opened to patients on Tuesday, February 4th. Two other 50-bed wings at the $3 million facility in Normal received patients when the home opened last October. And 25 years ago today, February 5th, 2000, Bloomington Normal residents should find out sometime in March whether the community can support a 7,000-seat multi-purpose arena. A feasibility study is underway and should be completed by then. The $30,000 study is funded by the McLean County Economic Development Council, City of Bloomington, Bloomington Normal Airport Authority, and the Peoria Rivermen Hockey Organization. Breaking the stigma. Local providers work on mental health with first responders. Normal police officer Evan Easter was struggling with his mental wellness long before he was ordered to see a therapist following an officer-involved shooting in 2021. "The best I ever felt was running to what might be my own death," Easter said, of the incident that ended with Normal police fatally shooting a man. "I was sent to a therapist after this. I knew this was a chance to get better." He was one of several first responders who attended an open discussion about mental health Monday night alongside a group of wellness providers at the Bloomington Police Union Park at 1750 General Electric Road. "If you are in the first responder field, you don't trust just any clinician," said Kathy Martin, a licensed clinical professional counselor, in an interview with the Pantograph. "If you're in a crisis, you can't wait to start therapy and get in front of somebody," Martin said. "While peer support may be positive, it's not always enough." Martin, who is certified in a therapy technique known as eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR, said her 14 years working as a police officer in Springfield inspired her to continue to help other first responders. Although Martin had been a counselor before joining the police force, her work with the department led her to specialize in EMDR and helping those who are struggling with traumatic memories to reprocess their emotions. "In 2018, my brain literally fractured," Easter said, as one of the guest speakers on the panel. Having had a lengthy career involving many high-profile incidents while working with narcotics units, SWAT, and other assignments, Easter discussed how he had altered his brain chemistry. "Because of the high dopamine and adrenaline levels that he experienced during his 22 years on the job, Easter said he had not been able to feel anything in his normal day-to-day life. The left side of the brain turned off, and the right side got stuck in fight or flight," Easter said, "and life got horrific." Easter told the audience he had been against getting help and planned to keep his struggle to himself. but on August 30th, 2021, he was forced to confront his struggles after he was dispatched to a mobile home park in North Normal for an active shooter. The shooter, who was later identified as 66-year-old Ronald Reiner, fired several shots that day, resulting in two deaths and three people being injured, Normal police previously said. Easter was among the officers who shot at Reiner, killing him. The McLean County State's Attorney's Office stated the officers were justified for their actions in this fatal shooting. When he was referred to a therapist after the shooting, Easter knew it was time to get help for himself and for his family, which consists of his wife and two young daughters. Easter began eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which allowed him to emerge stronger and more resilient, he said. Now, Easter is the CEO of The Fractured Mind, an organization dedicated to delivering a message of compassion, resilience, and healing, according to Easter's bio. EMDR training has opened the doors for more first responders, Martin said. Everyone is so different. So even with my caseload, I don't see the same response, but I do see positive shifts, and that's really what we're after, right? Dr. Emily Barker, a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner who specializes in trauma and anxiety for people with high pressure and high stakes careers, helped to organize Monday's panel discussion. Barker began speaking with other wellness providers 2 years ago to form the group who presented during the discussion. Monday's meeting was the first official event the group has hosted, Barker said. Every couple of months, we get together and try to strategize what the needs of the first responders in our area are, Barker told the Pantograph. Like other providers she enlisted, Barker started out as a first responder, working as an EMT before she was deployed to Iraq as a civilian in the United Nations. She also serves as a captain in the U.S. Army Reserve. Barker spoke with first responders in the audience about her practices of EMDR, myofascial release, and nature-based trauma therapy intensives. What we're trying to do is communicate with them. There's actually a whole bunch of other therapies out there where you don't have to talk about it, and you can still get healing from trauma, anxiety, depression, etc., Barker said. Amy Filter, a nurse who presented Monday, also discussed a therapy known as Safe and Sound Protocol, as well as breath work. She said these therapies help to target the nervous system to reduce symptoms of trauma, anxiety, depression, hypervigilance, nightmares, insomnia, auditory processing issues, and social isolation. At the end of the event, Barker and Filter presented demonstrations of the trauma resilience model, which uses imagery to rewire the way neurons are firing in the brain, sound therapy, and breath work. Together, the group of providers aims to establish connections with fellow first responders in Central Illinois, creating a list of current and former first responders who also serve as mental wellness providers, though providers who were not first responders also participated on Monday. Through this connection, the providers hope to break the stigma that surrounds seeking mental wellness in these professions. That's just my passion. Those are my people, Barker said. Coroner, man drowned after falling through lake ice. The McLean County Sheriff's Office is investigating a death after two men fell into a lake while ice fishing, authorities said. Deputies were dispatched around 4:30 p.m. on Sunday to the east boat launch of Lake Evergreen on Recreation Area Drive at Kamlara Park for a report of two men falling through the ice. Hudson, El Paso, Tawanda, and Normal fire crews all responded to the scene. Fire personnel were able to pull both subjects out of the water, and both were taken to local hospitals, the sheriff's office said. In a news release issued on Monday, McLean County Coroner Dr. Kathleen Yoder said one of the men was pronounced dead at 8:18 p.m. Sunday at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. Yoder identified him as Jared M. Ward, 49, of Metamora. Preliminary autopsy results indicated that Ward died from drowning due to cold exposure while ice fishing on the lake. Toxicology testing is pending. This incident remains under investigation by the sheriff's and coroner's offices. Normal okays Rivian sewer money, hears about plan. The Normal Town Council has approved reimbursing Rivian Automotive $3 million for a sewer main to serve new facilities at its West Side plant, and also received an update on the 2023 strategic plan. The electric vehicle maker will extend the sanitary sewer main 2,800 feet along West College Avenue to the west side of Rivian Motorway to serve its new parts and component facilities, and the town will reimburse the company $3 million, the council decided at its meeting on Monday. The extension will serve approximately 630 acres of currently undeveloped land west of Rivian Motorway, and it must be completed by December 31, 2026. In October, the town council approved site plans for Rivian's proposed $200 million development that includes two buildings spanning roughly 2.4 million square feet. The company needs public infrastructure upgrades for its near-term plan to develop the easternmost 90 acres. The development also will need water main, storm sewer service, and extensions of West College Avenue and its accompanying a Constitution Trail to a driveway access at the property's northeast corner, and intersection improvements at West College Avenue and Rivian Motorway. The redesign of the intersection requires coordination with the approval of the Illinois Department of Transportation. The initial final plat approved by the council expired before the IDOT approval, but the new plat was approved in related action on Monday. The proposed agreement allows Rivian to defer infrastructure work for the rest of the land. In exchange, the town will reimburse Rivian $3 million for the project, which was what was initially budgeted in the town's sewer enterprise fund to extend the sewer main. The project was delayed when the town's cost estimates neared $4 million because of the distance and complexity of the project. The town must complete all payments by December 31, 2031, and has discretion on the source of funds for repayment, meaning the town can choose to pay its obligation from property taxes paid by Rivian, from other revenue streams, or from the sewer enterprise fund. Strategic plan. The council on Monday heard from administrative analyst Jacob Smith on the 2023 strategic plan, which was created to lay out strategic priorities and goals developed through planning sessions, workshops, and other engagements with stakeholders. I don't think this would be a strategic planning discussion in normal without saying the following. We plan our work and we work our plan. And on behalf of staff, I'm very excited to continue bringing updates on this plan as we continue to make progress with that. The town worked with the Northern Illinois University Center for Governmental Studies from February 2022 through August 2022 to create the plan centered around four short and long-term priorities: innovative economic growth, infrastructure, and core services, organizational adaptation and effectiveness, and community engagement and development. Within those four strategic priorities, 28 goals were highlighted as either simple or complex targets. Short term, they included a review of the town's fee structure and pension funding strategies. In the long term was the town's PASER, or Pavement Rating Assessment and Management Project, study and analysis of polyfuracal substances, otherwise known as forever chemicals, in the water. Smith said two main trends they saw in 2024 were that some goals required lengthier planning stages, like the work surrounding North Normal infrastructure, and a focus on the advancement of sustainability efforts. Goals on the horizon include planning for a new Normal Fire Station number 3, the special census to gauge town population growth, and the development of Uptown Normal 2.0, Smith said. Smith said the town will be re-engaging with the NIU Center this year to revise the plan for 2026. Bloomington's 5-day forecast: you can expect rain and sleet this afternoon and breezy. Little or no sunshine, with a 60% chance of precipitation, an average relative humidity of 85%, and a high temperature of 34 degrees. Tonight, there will be rain and some ice early. Chance of precipitation is 95%, with average relative humidity of 95% and a low temperature of 32 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, it will be a bit milder. There'll be some sun and breeze. Temperatures will be between 42 and 21 degrees. Friday, it'll turn cloudy and the temperatures will drop. The high temperature is expected to be 34 and the low 28. Saturday, there's a chance of afternoon rain and temperatures ranging between 39 and 23 degrees. And Sunday, it will be breezy in the morning, partial sunshine, a high temperature of 34 and a low of 18 degrees. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the pantograph for Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. Please stay tuned.